Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to On the Heel Podcast.
And we're back.
Back on the hill.
This is going to be episode 20 now.
Episode 20 with a very special guest.
Yep. And a little different format than usual. We're on Zoom here over the United States, but
yes, sir. And we're honored to have with us today a lot of folks. We have a lot of law enforcement listeners, Colonel, but we've got Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman on the show today. Absolutely honored to have you.
Well, gentlemen, it's my pleasure. Eric and Herbert, and congratulations on 20 times.
Yes, sir.
I'm a huge fan of this podcast revolution. And I'm 67. You know, when I was a kid, we had three networks, and every city had one or two newspapers, and that was it, you know. And today we busted that logjam, that monopoly that the corporate media have, and the podcast revolution. You know, back in the day, I was on 20 and 60 minutes, and that was like 25 years ago. And a month later, it meant nothing. I had 5 minutes, you know, you had no control of what you said. This podcast revolution, we're digging in deep. And I think it's one of the best things happening in our society today. And I honor those who listen. I honor those who work hard to provide the podcast every day. And I thank you for your hard work. And congratulations on 20. May there be many, many more.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you for that. And I can tell you that, so the listeners know me, but they know about you through your appearances, your presentations, also the numerous books you've written. But like you said, I agree with this podcast format is unbelievable. And the crazy part is, I just want to put this out there. I literally sent an email to Colonel Grossman's website, and within a day or two, your PR person responded, and I was shocked. I just did it as a shot in the dark to see if it was a possibility. And now we're sitting here talking to you. So I was like, yeah, praise God of that. You definitely been influenced with my life, particularly, you know, the article you wrote was about the sheep and the sheepdogs and the wolves. And as an instructor at a regional academy, I referenced that many, many times. So
praise God. Well, yeah. You know, that whole sheep, the wolf and the sheepdog thing, it's become viral. You know, it was in On Combat originally.
Yes, sir.
And I actually have the U.S. government trademark for sheepdog as a term for protector. You know, when people use sheepdog, I tell them, you know, I'll send you a letter, you know, suitable for framing, giving you permission to use the term. But we've really taken off. And so the book it was in was in On Combat.
Yes, sir.
And On Combat and On Killing are both Marine Corps commandants required reading this over 20 years. A lot of people know it. And it was translated in Ukrainian last year, and it won their National Book of the Year Literary Award. So On Combat, and here they are now, they're going into the third year of a brutal war. And the book of the year was my book, On Combat, praise God, which is the old sheep, the wolf, the sheepdog thing woven into there. I'll be going to Ukraine and training their troops extensively during the month of May. I've had the honor to train cops in all 50 states. I think I'm the only law enforcement trainer ever to be state certified, all 50 states. I've trained hundreds of our units going back and forth from the war. And just give you an angle on this, your listeners here. You know, when Canada started in Afghanistan, it was Canada's first shoot in war since Korea. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to make sure they did it right. And they looked everything they could do, including having me come and present to the regiment before they deployed. And one of the regimental commanders told me, he said, we brought the boys back from their first deployment. And we said, okay, what worked? And they said, Grossman. He told us what would happen. He told us what to do about it. Mm-hmm. That same cycle has been repeated again. Almost every Canadian unit that deployed, hundreds and hundreds of American units. Now here I am in Ukraine doing the same thing. I'm 67 years old. Wow. And I want to stay in the fight for another 20 years. And we should talk about that later, about why we stay in the fight. What is it that keeps us in the fight? It's been a great ride. And I'm so honored to be on board with you all.
We're the ones that are honored. Let me ask you, Colonel. I mean, I know you're legendary in the military world, but I'm sure you do at some level know, you know, you're a legend in the law enforcement world too. And I mean, what piqued your interest in the law enforcement? What sent you that direction out of the military?
Well, that's a great question. It kind of lays a foundation. You know, when, by the way, when you first introduced yourself as law enforcement, I said, thank you for your service. And we should do that a lot more. The military gets thanked. And we should tell our cops thanks, because they've got a rough road to hoe right now. It is just hard, hard times for them. And let's talk about that. So when I was a young private, 82nd Airborne Division, 1975, I was going to night school, I en route to going to OCS. I wanted to be an officer. And I went to night school. I basically got my first 2 years of college on my own, so I could go to OCS while I was a paratrooper and a sergeant and the 82nd Airborne Division. And you know, as a young PFC, I went to my first night class, and it was a psychology class. And it talked about the application of psychology, anything in our own world. And I talked about how pop-up targets were a form of operant conditioning, and how we'd been conditioned to hit the target. And we had Vietnam vets all around us. And we'd try to get them to talk about combat, but they wouldn't talk. And the close thing we had was the simulator with the pop-up targets. I'm trying to wove all that together. So fast forward a decade, Captain Grossman, very senior captain, en route to go to teach at West Point. I graduated from OCS. I'm teaching at West Point. En route, I'm getting my graduate degree. And I thought, well, I'll do my thesis, my graduate thesis on killing. Not murder, but lawful killing. Cops and soldiers have to kill. I interviewed hundreds of World War II vets and hundreds of Vietnam vets, and it became my first book on killing.
Right, right.
And it sold well over 500,000 copies now. Ta-da! It sold it sold so many copies. It's translated 8 languages now, soon to be coming out in Ukrainian. And so I retired for the Army as a young, as a lieutenant colonel in 1997. And I had so many people wanting me to come and teach them and talk to them. And prior to the war, prior to 9/11, the only people in combat every day were our cops. Right. And they hit what I call the acid test. You know, in peacetime military, it's like a football team that never plays a game. You know, and you live in this kind of delusional world. It's peacetime. You never played a game. But the law enforcement community, what I call the daily acid test, they're in the fight every day.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And if they do something stupid, they learn from that and they stop doing that real fast.
That's right.
Because stupid stuff gets people killed. If they got something that works, then they run with that. So after about 5, 6, 7, 8 years, everything I was teaching had moved away from on killing and had become on combat. That's right. And it became my second book. And my son went to his first combat tour. Now get this, my son just retired, 9 combat tours, 3 Bronze Stars, Spec Ops. And this is the book I wrote for my boy going to his first combat tour.
Wow.
The early draft of this book on combat, which was just the Ukrainian Book of the Year award. Mm-hmm. And everything evolved. And so then the war began, and I'm teaching military units. And all along the way, I was able to put things together that were of value to people who were in the fight. And that kind of comes to the question, why am I still doing it? I talk to my cops every day. I talk to first responders. I teach our nation's largest fire department, many, many others. And I say, well, you know, everything you do is caught on camera. You do one, make one mistake, even don't even make a state. Just do something that doesn't look right. Sure. And you'd be vilified and being attacked. Why would anybody stay in the fight? Why would anybody want to be a cop? Nationwide, recruiting is down, retention is down. We had in 2020, the George Floyd effect. In 2020, we had the greatest increase in homicides we have ever seen in the history of our nation. We had this explosion of homicides, like multiples worse than anything we've ever seen before. Last year, we had a record number of cops shot in the line of duty. 2 years before that, we had record number of cops killed in the line of duty. In spite of body armor, in spite of medical technology, in spite of all the lives, record number of cops killed, record number of cops shot in the line of duty. Crime has exploded. Why would anybody want to stay in the fight? And that's really the core of your question, you know. And I'll tell you why I stay in the fight. Way to get home for me is my bride of 48 years. Just come July, it'll be 49 years. She was my high school sweetheart. She was 15. I was 17 when I proposed to her. I tell people we are from Arkansas. Right? back around there, you all would say we're from West Virginia, right? But hey, 2 years later, 2 years later, she married a crazy army paratrooper. Been this ride with me for 48, almost 49 years. I love her more than life itself.
But I'll tell you, I married my high school sweetheart, and I think we met, I was 17, and she was 15. We've been married over 30 years ourselves. Yes, sir.
So. I've been on the road now for over, 24 years in the Army, and 26, going on 27 years doing this. A couple hundred days a year. I get home one or two nights a week, a conjugal visit, clean underwear, and pack on the road. Because you see, the only people on earth more precious than my bride are my children, mm-hmm. and my grandchildren. I got a grandson in the Indiana National Guard right now. In the blink of an eye, I'll be a great-grandfather.
Wow.
And we believe if we love our children, if we love our grandchildren, if we love our God, if we love our nation, we'll give 100%. That's what love means. Love means the worse it gets, the harder you fight. Now, you're retired, Herbert, but you're still in the fight with this podcast. That's what you're doing. You're staying in the fight.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And I'm 67, and my primary prayer is I can keep doing it for another 20 years because I love my God. I love my nation. I love my children. That's what love means. Love means the worse it gets, the harder you fight. And so I tell everybody out there to just stay in the fight and believe in who you are. And my battle has evolved in recent years to my book on spiritual combat. And people say, I know on combat, I know on killing. What's Grossman say about on spiritual combat? Our book, Bulletproof Marriage, 90 Day Devotional, became a Christian Book Award finalist, kind of fun. And my most recent book is on spiritual warfare, just came out January 1st of 2024. Okay. And in the end, and I tell people, don't curse God because he doesn't answer your prayers the way you think he should.
That's right.
No matter how hard you pray, sooner or later, everybody's going to die physically. Mm-hmm. And in the end, every nation falls over my dead body.
That's right.
And in the end, our son will die, but eternity continues. Keep your eye on the big picture, folks. This is not our home. We're soldiers deployed to a war zone. And when our commander calls us home, it's going to be beautiful. But until then, we're in the fight. And the thing to understand is our purpose on this planet is spiritual warfare. Now, in normal warfare, you win in large part by killing the enemy. In spiritual warfare, you win by saving them. And that's the heart of spiritual warfare right there, is to understand this. And hold everything up to God in prayer. And he is there. But I tell my first responders, you see terrible things every day. And he can't help but think, how could a loving God allow those terrible things to happen? Well, the answer is that we are not God's puppets. A loving God would not be a helicopter parent who manipulates every decision and every action. He is there. He does watch over. But understand that you ever heard, if you love something, let it go. If it comes back, it's yours.
Yes, sir.
That's how much God loves us. That's right. Loves us enough to let us make our own decision. And a lot of people make bad decisions. A lot of bad things happen. You say, God, why don't you do something? You say, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. I sent you.
That's right.
And that's spiritual warfare. Now, our mission, right? We're soldiers. We got to ask, what's your mission? Love God and love people. That's our mission. And if we, thou shalt love the Lord, the God, with all the heart and all the might and all the soul, and love others as yourself. Four words, love God, love people. That's our job. And if we truly love and obey God, and if we truly love people, we'll bring them to the knowledge of salvation, the Great Commission. The Great Commission is our mission. And the way we do that is to do good deeds. Live the sermon. Live the sermon. Don't preach it. Do good deeds. And give the honor and glory to God. Now, God doesn't need the glory. He doesn't need nothing from us. But God loves us with a love that's infinity and beyond any love we can imagine. And he knows if we seek the honor for ourselves, if we seek the glory for ourselves, it will always be hollow. Right? You're beautiful, but you'll grow old and ugly. You're an athlete, you'll grow old and weak. Mm-hmm. You're surrounded by loved ones, they'll leave you. They'll die. The only thing in the universe you can count on is God. He will always be there for you. He will always love you. And so what we got to do is stay focused on eternal things. And so God's greatest achievement is not to give us a few more years on this earth, not to give us a little less suffering, although that's our goal. God's greatest achievement is to bring us to the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ in eternity in heaven.
Yes, sir.
And here's the key now. Here's the heart of it all. It really did happen.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yes.
Jesus really did die on the cross. He really did rise from the tomb. He really did appear to the disciples. Doubting Thomas really did touch the wound in his side. You know how we know what happened? Because 11 of the 12 disciples died for their faith. And men don't die for a lie. And then that second generation of disciples, they died for their faith. And that's straight up Roman history. Sure. They watched Jesus' disciples die. They didn't want to die, but they knew. They said, "You can kill me, and I will. And I know the instant I'm dead, I'm going to be in a better place with Jesus." And I know that would be on the shadow of a doubt because I watched him come back from the grave. Because I watched him come back from the grave. And so today we've got over 2 billion, way over 2 billion believers. And here's the core. If you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. And believing that it really happened is the most important thing in the universe. And God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish, have everlasting life. And so if we believe and place our trust in Jesus, then we have that eternal life. And there's somebody out there listening right now that says, I wish I could believe. I wish I could be like Herbert and Eric and Dave. I wish I could believe there was a loving God. Well, then what I want you to do is identify that wish for what it is, a little seed of belief. Mm-hmm. And plant that seed and ask for more belief. Belief is a choice. And God wants us to ask for more faith. The man came to Jesus and asked him to heal his child. And Jesus said, he had enough faith, anything's possible. He said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Boom. Jesus did what he asked him to do. God wants us to ask for more love. Our mission is to love, so go ask for more love. Number one. Number two, ask for more faith. Plant your little seed of faith. Faith is a choice. Plant your little seed of faith and ask for more faith and grow in the Lord and grow in the knowledge of salvation and stay focused. And once you do that, the things of this world will not pull you down. once you stay focused on those big things. So I talk about a lot of people make mistakes and bad things happen. But you were about to say something about that, Herbert, about, you know, we all make mistakes. Is something you're thinking about there?
When you said people make mistakes, I raised my hand because I'm made plenty of mistakes and I'm a sinner and that's what, you know.
Amen.
What Jesus represents. And
the Bible tells us there's none without sin, no, not one. If you say you have no sin, there's not the truth in you, you're a liar. The Bible says if you say I have no sin, you're a liar and there's no truth in you. That's what the Bible says. We're all sinners, but we're saved by grace. Right. You know, I talk about being God's faithful dog. Now, when we get there, God will embrace us as our beloved child.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we can't even begin to understand most of what's going on. We see through a glass darkly. We can barely comprehend. And it's all I can do to be God's faithful dog. I just want to be God's dog. And I got a dog, a chocolate lab. She's a sweet little thing. And not so little bit, but if I let her off the leash, she'll wander in the neighbor's yard. She'll roll in something stinky, but I still love her. Mm-hmm. And God sees every stupid thing we do. And he still loves us. And all he asks is that we love him. And that's good because that's all we have to give.
Right.
Is to give him our love and give him our faith. Well, and the idea of being God's dog, you know, well, Will Rogers said, if you get to thinking you're a man of some importance, try telling another man's dog what to do. Now, if you ever did that,
yeah.
And don't worry,
the dog would look at you. If a dog could talk, here's what he'd say. I don't know much. I'm just a dog. I know this. I'm not your dog. when the evil one comes to us, when the evil one comes to you and your loved ones, you look in the eye, you tell him, I'm not your dog. Mm. I have given myself to the creator of the universe, and there's no greater power, neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, the present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. So separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Yes, sir.
And that's kind of spiritual warfare in a nutshell there.
That's right.
Stay focused on the big picture. Pray ceaselessly in the spirit and have a prayer partner. We prayed before we began this show. You know what? God says, wherever two or three are gathered there am I in your midst.
Right.
So your prayers have extra mojo when you have a prayer partner. And you know, we work through Ephesians chapter 6, the full armor of God. And the last item most people cover is the sword of the Spirit. But they really missed the next thing is to pray ceaselessly in the Spirit. And prayer is your radio. You know, you're a lonely cop on the beat, but you get on the radio and you call in all the resources on the planet. I'm an Army Ranger. All I got is what I carry on my back, and that ain't much. But I get on the radio, I call in airstrikes, and I call in artillery and resupply and medevac. Prayer is our radio, and that's how we win spiritual warfare, staying on the radio and bringing in fire and fighting. And understand this, if you had the cure for cancer, you'd be beating down doors, you'd be showing people, you'd be on shows, you'd be showing people. Well, we have the cure for death, that people don't have to die, and we should be absolutely overwhelmed with this excitement to tell people about salvation and eternity in heaven. And that's why I'm so glad we started the show. But you guys talked up front, you're people of faith. And there's nothing in the universe more important than that faith. If you believe, you shall be saved. And that's where it all begins, is faith. And over 2 billion believers, you know, in the end, the martyrs defeated Rome. You see, because the Roman Empire embraced Christianity. And Byzantine, the Eastern Roman Empire, lasted for 1,000 years. One of the greatest empires lasts for 1,000 years, and they embraced Christianity as their faith. Mm-hmm. And so in the end, the martyrs won. And the Romans said, you know, there might just be something here. These people are all willing to die generation after generation. Maybe we should listen to what they're saying. Maybe there's something going on here. And in the end, God wins. And so keep your eye on that big picture and praise God. You know, we're in the fight here together. And that's, like I said, spiritual warfare. Oh, one other thing in the book. We are the rulers in this nation, in a republic such as ours, through our votes. And if we don't use our authority to move our nation towards paths of righteousness, then we're like the evil kings of the Old Testament. And we talk about that in our book on spiritual warfare. about being like the evil kings. Look at the curses God brought down on the rulers,
right,
who did not use their authority to move their nation towards paths of righteousness. If we don't vote and we don't vote for righteousness, then we're an evil ruler. We fail to use our authority. And here we are approaching a desperate time and a key election coming up in front of us. I don't like either one of them. Which one is moving us towards righteousness? Which one is moving towards godliness? Or which one is moving away from righteousness and away from what our nation always represented? It's a pretty easy choice when you look at it from that perspective.
Well, I agree with that. Hey, well, yeah. If you don't mind, I'm going to ask you, were you raised, in Christianity, or was there a certain event that happened in your life that opened your eyes? Or
my mom was raised in the faith, and early on she tried to take us to church, but we were real young, and Dad worked a lot. He wasn't available. He was working on weekends a lot, and so we weren't really a church family.
Right.
I married a Christian girl. God's used pretty girls to bring more people to the Lord than any other tool out there. I married a Christian girl, and she prayed for me. And then I had a night school, and I went to philosophy class, right? Young sergeant en route to OCS, going to night school. And my philosophy teacher was a pastor at a local church teaching night school philosophy class. And I came to the Lord with my head before my heart.
Yeah.
It is the most rational thing in the universe to believe that there is a loving God. If we're wrong, we lose nothing. We lead a beautiful life, a good life. If we're right, we gain everything.
That's right.
And to me, that's it in a nutshell. There's no reason on earth why you shouldn't embrace the reality. A belief is a choice. And so I came to the knowledge of belief through my godly bride and through that. And became active in the church and was baptized as a young sergeant and just grew in the faith year after year. And I'll give you a story about being a cop and being a believer. And I was in West Memphis, Arkansas, a father and son team of white supremacists had murdered two cops. And there was a dragnet came in from every direction. And one of them was a Arkansas game and fish officer by the name of Mike Neal. And he's 90 miles an hour from 100 miles away. He's coming to join this dragnet, and he pulls in to the Walmart in West Memphis, Arkansas. And these two idiots had just murdered two cops, and they went shopping. They just got on with their lives.
Wow.
And they're in this van, and they've got the sheriff, and the sheriff was unarmed. Now, the sheriff was a destroyed human being. Preparation, denial kills you twice.
That's right.
Denial kills you once physically. You don't have the gun and you die. Now, the sheriff didn't die, but denial killed him twice psychologically. Because there he was, trapped behind his vehicle with his deputy. He didn't even have a gun. He was a destroyed human being. So there's two cops trapped behind this police vehicle, their Crown Vic. And there's two idiots in this van leaning out the window, shooting up these cops. And Mike Neal gets on the radio and says, well, I found your bad guys. They're in the parking lot in Walmart. And they're shooting up a couple of your cops. And the dispatcher, who are you? What are you doing? And he said, I don't have time for this. And his game and fish vehicle is in the National Law Enforcement Museum. And the video's out there, the parking lot security video of the Walmart, where you see him floor his vehicle. And he slams into the back of this van about 40 miles an hour. And he's got his AR in the seat right next to him with his own rounds. He's got his own tap rounds so that he punched through vehicles. Mm-hmm. And the windshield of his vehicle is amazing. The windshield's got all these bullet holes coming in. And then there's a little round circle of bullet holes going out where he killed one, and a little round circle of bullet holes going out where he killed the other one, shooting through the vehicle and through the headrest. Shooting through the vehicle and through the seat, killing them both, game over, dead. Mike Neal told me, he said, I'm the kind of cop other cops make fun of. He said, they don't make fun of me no more.
Wow.
Be that kind of cop. Be that kind of believer. Be that kind of cop. Be that kind of soldier. Be that kind of cop. Be that kind of believer.
Right.
Push that envelope. We need people like Mike Neal. By the way, Mike Neal is now Sheriff Mike Neal. Been in several other shootings. Shot more bad guys than the flu vaccine. But here's the man that was elected a sheriff. Here's the man was there. He said, I have my own ammo and I have my own preparation. I train on my own time. Be that kind of cop, be that kind of soldier, be that kind of believer. But just push that envelope and identify the things you can do. Denial kills you twice. Preparation saves you twice.
I agree with that. So let me ask you this. So you got a question?
Well, I was going to touch back on something you said earlier when you said men don't fight for a lie. And how much do you believe that faith plays into combat or into law enforcement when you go out and talk to these guys? And
without a doubt, God is there. He does influence events. He does have guardian angels out there. Now, if you take that too far, then when bad things happen, you blame God, right? So realize he is there. He does influence events. But if you don't have God in your life, then it's hollow and it's empty. Right. And you're fighting a battle without any tools, without any authority. I think as a soldier, as a cop, as anybody in the world today, if you don't have faith, you're already lost the battle. And one of the pillars of resiliency, what I teach is Bulletproof Mind, I teach resiliency. I was a keynote speaker at the first Department of Defense-wide resiliency conference, an opening speaker at the second DOD-wide resiliency conference. And resiliency is about people who do not get PTSD. The vast, vast majority of our veterans do not get PTSD. The vast majority of our cops do not get PTSD. The vast majority do not kill themselves. The vast, vast majority are made stronger by the experience. It's called post-traumatic growth. Nietzsche says, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Nietzsche stole that from the Bible. Romans chapter 5, we glory in tribulation. A tribulation work of patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope make it not ashamed. 2,000 years for Nietzsche. You know, the Bible said the same thing. Being stronger from the bad things in life is not a new idea. Waving the pity party, that's a new idea. So faith is the pillar of resiliency around the world. You were saying, brother, please.
I was saying it was a great question and a great answer. But that's what I was wanted to ask you about is, I was in the business. When you retired in 97, I started law enforcement in 95. So, yeah. I stayed in the same place all those years. But as when I first came in, it was all military people, actually. And I had just graduated college. I was kind of like the guy people made fun of, And I had lessons to learn about, that people want to hurt you. People want to, for no other reason other than just wearing the badge. But what I found out is, and I had faith too. I had a wife that was had gone to parochial schools and it was
praise God.
Or that term. It's almost the stories are very similar, and she helped me find faith and
praise God
in life events. But I guess what I'm finding now as an instructor, and like I said, I'm a retired instructor now. But exactly what you just said, I think with the internet, with these social media, it has the podcasts are great, but then we also have this what about me type thing and instant gratification. And we got cops nowadays, and God bless them because they're out there doing it, but it doesn't seem like they have the same mentality, perhaps, and they're jumping from agency to agency for better pay. And I just wonder what you thought about that. And I'm not putting down the people, but I just think the mindset has gotten more about an individualism than the team. And what happens is, and I try to press on the.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
On these folks is once you get on the street, they don't care if you're gay, straight, white, black, Hispanic. All they see is that badge, and most people are going to respect it, but there's that one group that are going to harm you regardless of where you stand in any individual statements. It's all about you represent law and order, and they hate you for that. And it's tough if you don't have the right mindset, you're done. That's it.
Yeah. It's hard. And you're right. There is kind of a dynamic in this generation of what's in it for me. They're trainable and they'll learn and they'll grow. But recruiting is down. Retention is down. We're hurting so bad across America. Crime has exploded to levels never seen before. We've never seen anything remotely like this. Record number of cops shot in the line of duty. The all-time record increase in homicides. And cops say, we know how to not get murdered. We just don't go to that part of town no more. Yep. That part of town, it doesn't have justice anymore. And they're not reporting crime. And so, you know, the UCR, the Uniform Crime Report, in 2022, we don't have the 23 data yet, but 2022, the Uniform Crime Report says, oh, crime is down just a tiny bit. But the Crime Victim Survey says crime has exploded.
It's
one of the greatest disparities we've had between what cops are reporting, the Uniform Crime Report, oh, crime is down just a little bit, and what the citizens are reporting in the crime survey. It's this incredible disparity. Well, but this is breakdown of our civilization. This is whole parts that aren't getting, are no longer having justice, and the cops aren't going there, and things are coming unglued. So again, that comes back to, why do we stay in the fight? We love our children. We love our God. We love our nation. We love our way of life. We love our fellow man. And you know what makes a great cop? What makes a great first responder is love. You see, the opposite of evil is love.
So,
evil is the absence of love, just as darkness is absence of light.
So,
and what makes a great first responder is empathy. What if it was my family trapped in that burning building? What if it was my child that had been murdered? What if it was my spouse had been raped? What if it was my friends being attacked? Empathy is love with its shoes on. Empathy is love in action. And this sense of empathy, what if it was my family trapped in that burning building? What if my dad lay in there needing CPR? This empathy, this love is what motivates us and carries us through these times. I have great hopes for the future, but I want to tell you that the great challenge to that generation and to all of us now, if I only had 15 minutes to talk to a law enforcement audience, I would talk about this global epidemic of sleep deprivation.
Okay.
We're in the middle of this tragic epidemic. The social media that you talked about, the social media is being sued right now because it's addictive to children. They've received patents to make it addictive. The video games are addictive. The social media is addictive. Binge watching TV shows all night long. So here's what we know. Sleep deprivation is a major factor in suicide. One of the best meta studies, see, sleep deprivation makes you stupid. Sleep deprivation impairs your judgment. After 24 hours without sleep, your impaired judgment equal to 0.10 blood alcohol level above legally drunk. If somebody showed up to morning roll call drunk, you'd kick his ass. If he shows up to morning roll call sleep deprived because he played video games all night long, he needs his ass kicked.
That's right.
There's nothing cute. There's nothing funny about showing up work drunk. There's nothing cute about showing up work sleeper. Yeah, I played the new video game all night long. Boy, binge watch TV shows, a new show all night long. It's not funny. It's not acceptable. It's like showing up work drunk. Look, you got a sick baby at home. You stayed up with a sick baby. Man, we got you covered. You played freaking games all night long. You know, the head of Netflix said that their competitor is sleep. The corporate policy at Netflix is to steal your sleep. So sleep is this huge factor in suicide. And we need to understand that. One of the great experts on suicide is Chief Neil Gang, and he's pulled the data together, and he tells us truthfully, accurately, we lose more cops to suicide than every other line of duty death put together. We lose more cops to their own hand than every other line of duty death put together. And sleep deprivation is a key factor in suicide. It's slow suicide. We're killing ourselves. So you make that bad decision, never had a chance to rethink it. Alcohol and suicide have always been related. Alcohol creates impaired judgment, make a bad decision, never had a chance to rethink it. But this pervasive sleep deprivation. So teenagers, 10, 11, 12-year-old, teenage girls' suicide rate has tripled per capita the last decade. If you have teenagers or tweenagers, you should be scared sick about suicide. It is the number one killer of our kids. Mm-hmm. And if you gave a damn about cop suicide, if you gave a damn about your kids, the first thing we have to focus on is sleep. You've got to get enough sleep. You've got to get that sleep management. The video games put us in a flow state. Suddenly it's 6 o'clock in the morning, time to get up and get dressed. No idea where the last 8 hours went. They do that on purpose. So this is a key factor. Here's parenting 101 for the 21st century. When you send your kid to bed at night, take their cell phone away from them. No laptop in the room, no cell phone in the room. They've got to go to the room and sleep. A cop came up to me during a break in one of my presentations. He said, I had one of those tweenagers. He said, she was a good girl. She was an A student. She said, Dad, it's embarrassing. You don't have to take my cell phone every night. You can trust me. Family policy, cell phone and charger, you go to bed. Mm-hmm. You don't have to take my cell phone. You can trust me. He said, okay, I'll trust you. Keep your cell phone. He said, a little while later, she took her life. He said, my little girl took her life. And we never knew the hell she was living in until we looked at the text messages on her cell phone.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. Night after night, he said, night after night of ceaseless, relentless, vicious bullying. So, and he can't ignore that. We're not wired that way. He said, it was heartrending this year, all night long, trying to defend herself. He said, I knew immediately my little girl was bullied to death. What I didn't understand until now, she was sleep deprived, tormented, and bullied to death in front of my eyes, and I let it happen. He said, I can't ignore that text message in the middle of the night. How can we expect our kids to?
That's true.
He said, the one thing on earth that I've done for my little girl is take her cell phone every night, let her turn off the bad stuff in this world. But who's going to be your mommy? Who's going to make you get this sleep? As an adult, you need at least 7 hours of sleep a night. It is critical. It is essential. But sleep deprivation, key factor in suicide, is a key factor in traffic death. Now, suicide and traffic deaths are the major killers of our teens. After suicide, traffic death is the next major killer of our cops. And there's a reason why truck drivers require by law to get enough sleep. Having a sleep-deprived person behind the wheel of a vehicle is one of the most stupid things we could do. And here's our cops, truck drivers, airline pilots, 20 other professions require by law to get enough sleep, but cops aren't. And worldwide, traffic deaths have exploded. Suicides have exploded. What is the new factor? This global epidemic of sleep deprivation. It's a key factor in the opiate epidemic. Now, fentanyl's an opiate, and we lose more people to fentanyl every year than Vietnam. The whole Vietnam War, we lost about 50,000 Americans. Every year, we lose 70,000 to 80,000 from fentanyl. We lose 1.5 Vietnams. The whole Vietnam War, we lose 1.5 times that many to fentanyl every year. And it's an opiate and prescription opiates. Why prescription opiates? They've always been there. Why the drug of choice? Sleep deprivation creates chronic pain. Look, we've all had a night when we didn't sleep and we ache the next day. Sleep, you don't sleep, you're going to hurt. Doc, I hurt all the time. Give me a pill. If you need a pill, you need more sleep. Yeah. You got to knock off the caffeine shortly after lunch to stop you getting deep cycle sleep. We're in the middle of a global epidemic of caffeine abuse. So sleep deprivation is a key factor in Alzheimer's, without a doubt. People say, oh, I'll sleep when I'm dead. You have a decade of Alzheimer's first, you idiot. Sleep deprivation is a key factor in obesity and heart disease. So here's this global epidemic of suicide, a global epidemic of traffic deaths, this epidemic of opiate abuse, this explosion of Alzheimer's and obesity. And nobody is saying, here is the new factor, because they don't want you to turn it off. The news industry, your time is their money, and they don't want you to turn it off. And so we're battling this industry who's trying to steal our time, and they don't care that they're killing people. They just want to sell their product. Yeah. So this epidemic of sleep deprivation, your children, yourself, your spouse, this is the area where we can make a difference, right? Well, what do we do? The only thing universe you can control is how you choose to respond. And tonight's the night you take charge of your life and start getting some quality sleep. And we talk about sleep hygiene, but does all of that make sense? The sleep deprivation, our cops, the suicide, the traffic deaths?
Oh, yeah.
It does to me.
I saw it all the time when I was teaching, and the kids, they would, I mean, first they were already hooked to their phones. school issued Chromebooks for them to do homework on and school work on. But I mean, any free time they had, they were playing games. They talked about, I couldn't do homework last night. Well, what'd you do last night? Oh, well, I was on the game last night. And it was just, it was nonstop. And I can't remember where, it's funny you bring this up now, because I remember I read something or watched something the other day about artificial light is a big part of sleep deprivation, where humans would fall asleep when it got dark and they'd wake up when it got light.
Yes, yes.
And artificial light was the beginning of that. And then it turned into TVs would stay on until, you know, you'd go to sleep. But once you turn the TV off, you were able to go to sleep. But now we have these in our beds every night. So once the TV goes off, we go in bed, then we turn our phones on and we're looking at that screen for, you know, 1 or 2 hours go by, and all of a sudden it's midnight, 1 a.m. And as soon as that goes off, then like you said, you're only getting, you know, 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and it just gets worse and worse as, fortunately, you know, all these subscriptions and new games come out and more things you can do on your phone. It's more reason to
ever more addictive, ever more invasive. And it's they're killing our kids. You know, here you are teaching children. You're seeing the impact. You know, my dad started smoking in 1941 when he was 5 years old.
Wow.
He plunked a nickel on the counter. He went to the local general store, couldn't even look over the counter, plunked a nickel on the counter and started smoking 5 years old. Candy rot your teeth, right? Candy rot your teeth. It's his money. Cigarettes are good for you. Here's a Camel ad that says, as your doctor, I recommend more doctors smoke Camels than any of the cigarette. Well, doctors smoke Camels. So, you know, here's a Viceroy ad. As your dentist, I recommend Viceroy. So docs say Camels. Dentists say Viceroys, which is good. They're poison. They're all poison. Don't do it.
That's right.
But all they wanted to do was sell tobacco to children. We didn't ban tobacco. We didn't ban media violence. But what we're saying is, don't sell this garbage to children. Right. My book, Assassination Generation, talks about, I was invited to the White House as part of President Trump's roundtable on violent video games. Very gracious, impressive man in person at the White House, shook his hand, had a chance to put one book in the president's hand. This is a book. I invited back to the White House to brief the vice president. Vice President Pence had a chance to put one book in his hand. This is the book. Wow. And we talk about here in the book, in 2005, the state of California overwhelmingly voted to regulate children's access to violent video games. The brain scan data is overwhelming. Here's your kid's brain on video games. The sleep deprivation, the fight or flight hormones. So 2005, Hollywood said, we're good with this. Silicon Valley said, we're good with this. The state of California overwhelmingly voted. Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor. Arnold signed the law. So the video game industry fought all the way to the Supreme Court to sell any game to any kid at any age. They said, you cannot regulate us in any way, shape, or form. And they conned seven old men, seven Supreme Court justices, probably never played Pong in their life.
That's right.
Overturned the California law. How many people know that? They fought all. And again, we didn't ban tobacco. We're saying, don't sell this stuff to children, because that's when they get addicted. That's when they develop all these bad habits. And we're not banning this stuff. We're saying, don't sell this stuff to children, because there they are as children, and then they become adults and they keep playing the games and they have all these bad habits instead of learning to sleep. And you're right. It began with artificial lighting. Look, we don't know how to make ourselves get enough sleep. It's a biological blind spot. The body knows how to get enough air, food, and water. Try going without air for a while. Try going without food or water. Your body will take over. Yeah. But the body doesn't know how to make us get enough sleep, because it always happened naturally. It got dark every night. Mm-hmm. There's nothing macho. There's nothing tough about going without sleep. Any 10-year-old girl at a slumber party can do it.
That's right.
The professional thing, the adult thing, is to manage your sleep like you manage your money. And you're so right. I'm so glad the word's getting out there. Whatever it was you read about artificial lighting and then TVs and now the video games and the social media. And again, here's the head of Netflix saying their competitor is sleep. That's criminal.
Yeah.
Sleep deprivation kills you. And he doesn't care. He just wants to sell his product. And oh, by the way, they're not telling people, you've been playing this video game for 48 hours. It's time to get some sleep now. They're not saying, oh, you've been binge watching shows for 36 hours trying to get some sleep now. They will never do that. Nope. They just want to sell their product and hide the evidence that points a finger back at them. this explosion of crime. Now, we have 2 centuries and 10,000 studies. Every cop knows the link between alcohol and violent behavior. There can be no doubt. Well, there's that same link between sleep deprivation and violent behavior. And it's a new factor in the equation. And it's eaten our civilization alive. This evil industry that fought all the way to the Supreme Court to sell any game to any kid at any age and then shoved it down the memory hole because you didn't know that. How many people know that? And they're not going to let us know.
Well, you know, I think it was Nietzsche said, who also said, you know, and people like the atheist types, they say the quote, he said, God is dead. But what they left out was, and the streets will run in blood. But more importantly, he said,
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What are we going to replace him with? And that's what we're finding is I think people have turned these games and, you know, these computers into gods. And now we're missing, you know, the fundamental God. And that's what we're talking about at the beginning. And without God, people create their own gods, false gods, you know, like the Tower of Babel. And that's what we're dealing with. Yeah. And, you know, hopefully we can, you know, get enough people to wake up to what's going on because these folks have no concern for the people that they're customers. I mean, they could care less. Mm-hmm. And if they were religious, and it's not for me to judge them, but what I'm saying is if they, like you said previously about empathy, if they were empathetic and like, what is the effect these having on other kids? What if these were my own children? I think they would see it differently, but you know,
that's so good.
Yeah.
The opposite of evil is love, and the absence of love, the absence of empathy allows this evil to happen. You know, C.S. Lewis, a great Christian writer, and we cite him extensively in my books, you know, C.S. Lewis said that the worst evil is not in some concentration camp. The worst evil happens in some boardroom with people in fancy suits who are making this decision and seconded in and passed. And he said the evil's happening in the boardroom to sell this sick stuff to people. And they think they're good people because they're, you know, he said, if you got a criminal, it's not too hard to convince them that they're a bad person. But it's this person in the boardroom who makes this decision that's responsible for millions of suicides who doesn't believe that they're a bad person. And you're right. They don't have the empathy, don't have the love. They've been given power and they use that power to make more money instead of trying to make life better for people. Yeah. Wow. Well said.
Yeah.
Well, and just thinking about the video games, I was thinking about this. I was talking to one of my friends yesterday, how they keep throwing these updates out and it seems to always come out, like you said, at peak times at night. So it's like this will release at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. I guess they're assuming people are off of work, but you know, these games are rated M for mature, but they keep targeting these younger audiences releasing.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because M is 17 and above only. M is like an X-rated game.
Yep.
But instead of calling it X, instead of it calling 17 plus, they call it mature. Yep. Every kid thinks he's mature. I'm mature, Dad. You said I'm mature. I can play a mature game. Yeah. Every kid wants to be mature. They took the most evil games. And we talk about that in the book too, Assassination Generation. They took both evil games and they give it the most desirable term, M, for mature. And then we got little kids playing these games and the industry has a rating system, but they don't enforce it. They fought all the way to the Supreme Court to stop us from enforcing it. And it's so evil. So well, if we can, let's talk real quick about sleep hygiene. Here's the things that we can do starting tonight. Now, number one, don't touch the snooze alarm. The snooze alarm is an evil little button that makes you relive the worst part of every day over and over again. and you get a 10-minute snooze, another snooze, a third snooze. You just threw away 30 minutes of your life. Mm. The minimum nap is 30 minutes. Anything less than 30 minutes, pretty much a waste of time. So that 10-minute snooze is of no value as far as your life goes, and no value as far as sleep goes. That 10-minute snooze, You threw away 10 minutes, another 10, another 10. You threw away 30 minutes of your life to trick your body going without sleep. So what I tell people is set your alarm for 10 alarms, 6 o'clock, 6.01, 6.02, 6.03, 6.04. By the time you turn them off, you're up. You that goes to bed at night, make you get up in the morning, get the hell out of bed. And I will put 30 minutes of quality sleep back in every night. That adds up to 3.5 hours sleep back in every week, 2 pure, beautiful nights sleep back in every month, 24 nights sleep back in every year. Set the alarm a half hour later and get the heck out of bed. And the first decision of every day is the most important decision. Do I surrender to my body and hit the snooze alarm? Or am I in charge of my body and roll out of bed? Am I in charge of my body? Is my body in charge of me? And it comes back to self-discipline. Give a kid a marshmallow. Eat this marshmallow right now. I'll be back in 3 minutes. Another one. Don't eat it. You can have them both. That is one of the greatest predictors of success in life. More than IQ, you can't change your IQ. You can't change your kid's IQ. But more than IQ, self-discipline. And you can change your self-discipline starting tonight. Don't test the snooze alarm. But the dark is our friend. The snooze alarm is not our friend. The dark is our friend. We are designed to sleep in complete and total darkness. I'm a huge science geek. My favorite website, sciencedaily.com. Major study in the sleep lab, totally dark room. Bathroom light is on, the door is shut. The light coming under the crack of the bathroom door is enough light to stop your body from producing the melatonin that you need. Melatonin is the hormone the body creates to make us sleep. Yep. And it creates it in the dark. If you're not in the dark, the body can't produce melatonin. And the best thing on earth you can do, it's hard to make that room absolutely dark, especially if you work a night shift and trying to sleep during the day. The single best thing you can do right now for sleep, the single best thing, is go online and get a good sleep mask. There's one on Amazon that has 85,000 five-star reviews for a sleep mask. It's my favorite. My wife likes another. My grandson went to college. What's most likely to kill my grandson? Suicide, traffic death, opiate overdoses. What's the best gift I'd give my grandson? A good night's sleep. My grandson goes off to college. He's seen my class. He's heard my class. I gave him 3 different kinds of sleep masks. I said, find one you like and use it. Call my grandson at college. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Doing great, Grandpa. Get enough sleep? Yes, sir. A unique sleep mask? Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, it got grody. I went online, ordered another one. All right. So that sleep mask is one of the best investments you'll ever make. You may not get one more minute of sleep. You'll get quality sleep if you sleep with that mask on. Now, the mask might make you sweaty. And that's good because we're supposed to sleep in the dark and the cool. Turn the ceiling fan on. Turn the thermostat down a couple of notches. Sleep in the dark with that sleep mask and turn that temperature down. The dark is our friend. The cool is our friend. But the next thing to understand is alcohol is not our friend. Now, nothing wrong with a drink or two at dinner, but in that hour before sleep, no more than one drink before you go to bed. And ideally none, but no more than one drink on the way to bed. We have millions of people putting themselves to sleep with alcohol every night. They need most of a six-pack. They need most of a fifth of liquor to put themselves to sleep. That is one of the most harmful things you could possibly do. I tell people, if I were king and could pass one law, I'd mandate sleep for all first responders. Then we wouldn't have enough. We have to work them into the dirt, maximum overtime. No. Better no cop than a tired cop. Can we all agree better no cop than a drunk cop? Yes. And better no cop than a tired cop. And we can't afford to have sleep-deprived people out there making decisions. But if I were king, I'd pass a law mandating sleep, just like pilots and truck drivers, for all first responders. And if I were king, I would give everybody a fitness tracker. And they would be able to track their sleep. The Fitbit's doing a pretty good job. The Aura, the Ring, is doing a great job. Yeah. Track your sleep. And I want you to do your own research. Pound down 5 beers and go to bed and see what it does to your sleep. You will fall quickly into a shallow sleep. You wake up in a little bit and can't get back to sleep. Truly, no more than one drink on the way to bed. It is the single most destructive, counterproductive thing you could do. And there are millions of people doing that. Docs don't like long-term use of Ambien. but they tell you it's infinitely better than alcohol. Yeah. Anything's better than that. Melatonin's a good place to begin. Get the smallest dose you can, little baby dose of melatonin. As we get older, the body produces less. There may be value in it. But sleep in the dark, no more than one drink on the way to bed, and caffeine. Caffeine is a valuable, useful drug if you're not abusing it on a daily basis. You must cut off caffeine shortly after lunch. Now, a cup of coffee or two at breakfast, a cup of coffee or two at lunch, maybe a hit, you know, at an hour after lunch when you're in that low spot, one more hit of caffeine, and then cut it off. No more until the next morning. The half-life of caffeine in our body is 5 hours. Wow. That means the caffeine you took at 5 p.m. is still at half strength when you go to bed at 10 p.m. And it's making us have bad quality sleep. People say, oh, caffeine don't bother my sleep. And why are you taking it? But caffeine doesn't make us not sleep. It makes us have bad quality sleep. Mm. Guard your sleep. Protect your sleep. Sleep is that little vacation that waits at the end of every day. And caffeine is the enemy of good sleep. Cut off caffeine shortly after lunch, and it will rock your world. And then when you need it, it'll be there for you. You're driving your family home from vacation. 2 o'clock in the morning, your head is bobbing. Those are called micro naps. Yeah, that's your body saying, stupid, stupid. You should not be driving right now. Right. But will a cup of coffee keep you awake? Or you've been abusing caffeine with mega doses when needed, that's not there for you. So here's sleep hygiene. This is what we should have learned in elementary school. My second grade teacher told us cigarettes kill people. I went home and hid my dad's cigarettes. If our second grade teacher would tell us you're designed to sleep in total darkness, they will do it. So here's the recap, right? The snooze alarm is not our friend. Get the hell out of bed. Take charge of your life. The first decision of every day is the most important decision. The dark is our friend. You use that sleep mask, make that room as dark as you can, turn the thermostat down a notch so that sleep mask is comfortable. Alcohol is not our friend. No more than one drink on the way to bed, ideally none. But if you got to, just cut it off at one. Anything beyond that is doing great harm to our sleep. And caffeine can be a powerful, useful tool if we're not abusing it on a daily basis. Those are things we should have learned in elementary school. But they don't want you to turn that stuff off. They don't want you to stop using that caffeinated drink. They want you to pound that stuff down. They don't care that they're hurting people. So these are the lessons we should teach our children. These are the lessons we should live by. When it comes to resiliency, the fundamental point is the only thing universe you can control is how you choose to respond.
Yes, sir.
And give everything else to the Lord. That's why faith is one of the pillars of resiliency. Viktor Frankl walked out of a Nazi death camp, human skeleton, a witness to unspeakable evil. And Viktor Frankl wrote a couple of great books. And he said, I realized, sitting in that Nazi death camp, the only thing universe, these bastards can't control, is how I choose to respond. Sure. The only thing universe you can control. You can't control what's happening at the political level. When you vote once every couple of years, that's your control. Let go of it. Everything else. You can't control what some idiot does. They're cutting around in traffic. If it makes you angry, then they win. You see, you don't lose your temper. You give it away. Mm-hmm. The only thing universe you can control is yourself. You don't lose your temper. You give it away. It's the only thing you can control. The only thing universe you can control is how you choose to respond. Mm-hmm. And we want people listening to this podcast to choose the Lord and to choose faith. Yes, we want them to choose to get a good night's sleep. We want them to choose to sleep in darkness and get that sleep mask and get a hold of their sleep. We want them to choose to guide our nation towards proper paths of righteousness and to guide our nation and have love and empathy is love with the shoes on. And the opposite of evil is love.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I couldn't say it better myself.
I think that's it. Well,
praise God.
Yes, sir. So, we do ask this is our closing question, and he normally asks. If you just want to take a couple seconds, and then I think we'll call it end of the day. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we always ask the guests. Just for me, it's a little insight into how people think and how they are. So I always ask if you had your final meal, if you were on death row, and you were asked what would your final meal be of your choice, what would you choose?
You know what I would do? I would give my final meal to the poor, to the to somebody. I would say, I don't need anything. I fast one day a week. I go without food for 36 hours. No big deal.
Okay.
But if I had my final meal, I would want to make a witness. I would want to bring somebody to the knowledge of salvation. I would want to make my last act on earth to be one that filled with love and sacrifice. And I would say, take this meal and give it to somebody who desperately needs it. And let them know that God loves him. And let them know that God is love. And all love flows from him. And his son came on this earth to die that we could have eternity in heaven. And if we believe on him, then we shall not perish, we have everlasting life. So that's what I would choose. And what a great question.
Yeah, hey, and one great answer. Thing,
my podcast or my website, grossmanontruth.com, the truth on killing, the truth on combat, the truth on spiritual combat, grossmanontruth.com. You can buy all the books on Amazon, but get them on the website. We'll sign them. We'll personalize them. We'll get you pointed in the right direction. So, praise God.
That's awesome. We'll post that down in the link when we post the podcast, and this will be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You people listening, you'll be able to watch this on YouTube as well.
Praise God.
But again, this was a huge honor.
Oh man. Oh,
my pleasure. What a great question about the last meal. You know, what an opportunity to their last opportunity to witness. I never thought of it. It just came. The Lord put it in my mind right there. Praise God. Iron sharpens iron, guys. Iron sharpens iron.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you for your time, Colonel. I just want to say I'm blown away. I mean, I've watched you and video, been to several of your conferences, and just being in this format is unbelievable. I mean,
well, it's a two-way street, brothers. You uplift me and give me a chance to get the message out, and I get a chance to uplift you. Iron sharpens iron.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. God bless you.
Sir. All right, sir. Be safe. All right, take care.
Hi, Colonel. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys. Stay in the fight, brothers. We need you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you for listening to On the Hill. Like, subscribe, and follow us wherever you listen to your podcasts. See ya.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.